This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and the cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, I'm not going to lie, it's a kind of low-key week. Low-key, not low-key. However, within that low-keyness, what is he talking about? There are some sneaky little gems to get excited by. While there's not legion of stuff, there is quality of stuff. I should really shut up and we should really get started. This early rambling does not bode well for what's about to come. So, shall we begin?
Have you still got the post on your phone?
Yeah.
Can we see it?
They're my words. And I stick by them.
Agatha Christie starts today at the High Court.
Fellow wags and former friends embroiled in a bitter row.
Someone on my personal account was informing the Sun newspaper of my private posts and stories. I thought, I'm going to do something about it.
First up this week on streaming, and oh boy, a world rejoices. Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagata Story, The Wheel Wagata Story on Disney Plus, is a new three-part documentary which uncovers one of the biggest tabloid news stories in Britain for the last decade, as it reveals how Colleen turned amateur online sleuth, aka Wagata Christie, to find an explanation for why private stories concerning herself and her family continued to appear in the media. Oh my God. I mean, folks were absolutely gripped on this story. And then, when she revealed it was Rebecca Vardy, in her now infamous Instagram post, well, let's just say the phrase broke the internet finally lived up to the hype. What a time to be alive that it was. This documentary gives us the inside track to all of this madness and the following High Court trial from Rooney herself. And well, there's no point in lying to yourself. You'll be binging this as soon as it drops, which was Wednesday. So I'm going to assume that most of you listening have already watched it. So I'll move on. That's Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagata Story, now on Disney Plus.
You're not the first detective to discover this body. D.I. Hillinghead, 1890. D.S. Whiteman, 1941. D.S. Hassan, 2023. And D.S. Maplewood, in 2053. I'm going to tell you everything. It's going to blow your mind.
Four detectives, four timelines, one body. To save Britain's future, they'll all need to solve the murder that altered the course of history first. Yes, the new sci-fi crime drama, Bodies, on Netflix. In this one, as I said, four detectives investigate the same murder over different time periods in London. Two in the past, one in the present, and another in the future. Stephen Graham plays the mysterious time-travelling stranger lurking in the shadows, and he's leading the various detectives through the numerous obstacles blocking their paths to solving this crime. All based on a graphic novel, this looks like quite glorious sci-fi nonsense. Sure, why wouldn't you? That's Bodies, the series, now on Netflix.
Did you guys hook up? Was it everything you thought it would be? She seems like a bit of a pillow princess.
Let's just say we had an amazing connection.
How long have you been downloaded?
26 days. So what are you doing here?
Rayon killed hundreds of innocent people.
We're gonna break in and shut it down.
I have a plan.
Promise me you won't say anything. The more people that know about it, the more dangerous it is.
No. He's nowhere in the system.
So
I rebooted him from a backup copy.
There is another you living in Lakeview.
You think this is identity theft?
Upload returns to Prime Video for its third and final season. Set in 2033, humanity is able to defeat death by uploading their consciousness into a computer device similar to a cloud, where they can enjoy their best afterlife. When Nathan, who here is played by Robbie Amell, dies unexpectedly, he finds himself in this virtual afterlife at the very expensive and fancy Lakeview complex. In season 3, he continues to investigate the mysterious circumstances around his death, while also dealing with his feelings for his handler, Nora, who is very, very much alive, unlike him. This is a pretty funny, enjoyable show. I do quite like it, and it's been a while since season 2, and here's hoping they can land this final season. So that is Upload season 3, which is now on Prime Video.
I am Dr. Nandor Fodor,
the world's foremost parapsychologist.
I am not a skeptic.
This is the strangest case I have ever encountered.
A family living in a farmhouse claim a talking mongoose lives in their barn. Creature's name is Jeff.
What do you think about it?
A talking mongoose.
The Irving family are peculiar.
Nandor Fodor and the Talking Mongoose on Prime Video is a new, darkly comic tale based on true events starring Simon Pegg, Christopher Lloyd and Minnie Driver. When famed paranormal psychologist Dr. Nandor Fodor investigates a family's claim of a talking animal, aka Jeff the Talking Mongoose, he uncovers a mysterious web of hidden motives. Soon, everyone becomes a suspect in his relentless pursuit of the truth. Fodor, the Hungarian-American psychoanalyst, is known as the father of parapsychology, and, well, this was known to be one of his trickiest cases. All a bit mad, really. Almost Wicker Man-esque in parts, but with a mongoose named Jeff. What the feckin' hell is going on? So that's Nandor Fodor and the Talking Mongoose on Prime Video. And speaking of Wicker Man-esque,
I hope you like it here. It's a small village. People are nice. Mostly.
1556. Two young girls were burned to the stake here.
Thanks for bringing me here, Mum.
You're welcome.
You're the new vicar's daughter.
Yeah. We should be friends.
You need friends around here.
I found out what happened to the last vicar. He hanged himself in the chapel.
He told me that he saw them. The burning girls.
The Burning Girls on Paramount Plus is a new series based on the best-selling novel by C.J. Tudor. Reverend Jack Brooks, here played by Samantha Morton, and her daughter, played by Robbie Stokes, arrive in the quaint village of Chapelcroft, a place for a fresh start that soon reveals its community's dark, dark secrets, and where ancient superstitions and mistrust of outsiders are, yeah, quite common. With a cast that also includes Rupert Graves, Elodie Grace Orkin, Janie D and Jack Roth, this one lands perfectly in time for Halloween with its kind of freaky, kind of creepy and oh so Wicker Man vibes. If you're looking for a pretty decent spooky thriller, well, look no further because The Burning Girls is now on Paramount Plus. Speaking of Halloween and horror vibes, if you missed the latest installment of the Scream franchise, Scream 6 at cinemas, well, rejoice, because that one is now streaming on Paramount Plus from Saturday, October 21st. This is the one that flipped its setting from Woodsboro to New York City. It also starred Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera taking on Ghostface as the new kids on the block, while Hayden Panettiere and Courtney Cox represents, well, would be described as the old guard. And yes, they wouldn't give poor old Sydney the paycheck she wanted, so Neve Campbell is obviously not here. Timely return to form for the franchise and Ghostface. That's Scream 6, which is streaming on Paramount Plus from Saturday, October 21st. Also out this week, and not horror in any way, Neon on Netflix is a story of an aspiring reggaeton star and his best friends as they move to the bright lights and bustling beaches of Miami on a mission, weathering roadblocks and reality checks together in their quests for success and fame in the music business. Getting a bit of hype, getting a bit of buzz. That's Neon Season 1, which is now on Netflix. Another week and another blockbuster pile of documentaries. Let's start with this one.
It's terribly difficult to recruit for a secret service. You're looking for somebody who's a bit bad, but at the same time loyal. There's a type, and I fitted perfectly.
In your memoir, you say none of it's true. It's as I imagined it.
When I was in MI6, it wasn't enough for me. So what I did was reinvent the secret world and fill my own people with it.
The Pigeon Tunnel on Apple TV Plus sees Academy Award-winning documentarian Errol Morris of The Fog of War pull back the curtain on the storied life and career of former British spy David Cornwell, better known to us literati type as John le Carré, author of such classic espionage novels as The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and The Constant Gardener. This film, which spans six decades from the Cold War to present day and is based on le Carré's own best-selling memoir of the same name, includes the final interview given by the author prior to his death in 2020. Did you know that Smithfield, now one of the top and coolest neighbourhoods in the world, was once used as the location for Checkpoint Charlie in the 1965 movie The Spy Who Came In from the Cold? What? Amazing stuff. Anyway, The Pigeon Tunnel is now on Apple TV Plus, but if you want to catch it on the big screen, it is also on limited release in the Lighthouse Cinema and the Palace in Galway this week. Also out this week, we have Silver Dollar Road on Prime Video, which is another new documentary definitely worth your time. For generations, a waterfront property in North Carolina known as Silver Dollar Road is passed through generations in the Reels family. Developers seek out the land and begin to harass the family, leading the Reels to battle to save their land. The film draws upon reporting by Lizzie Presser for ProPublica, who in collaboration with The New Yorker published an article, Kicked Off the Land, receiving absolutely fantastic buzz on the festival circuit. Silver Dollar Road is now on Prime Video. Vieran Tomic, the Spider-Man of Paris on Netflix, is what one can only describe as a very intriguing documentary. In his own words, the burglar behind the 2010 robbery of the Paris Museum of Modern Art tells how he pulled off the biggest art heist in French history. He took five paintings, including a Henri Matisse and a Pablo Picasso, from the Musée d'Art Moderne in 2010, and the five were worth over 100 million euros. If you have an emptiness in your life for French thieves after binging Lupin season 3 last week, well, Vieran Tomic, the Spider-Man of Paris, should help you fill that void. It's now on Netflix. A documentary that comes in the form of all the stress in your life that you need, The Devil on Trial on Netflix, is definitely the darker side of documentary, as it uses reenactments and home videos to investigate the apparent possession of a young boy and the brutal murder that followed. This may all sound a little bit familiar, as this was the storyline featured recently in the Conjuring 3 movie. Well, that's because this is the real case which that movie was based on. It was one of the most sensational murder trials of the 1980s, when Aaron Cheyenne Johnson stabbed an acquaintance to death with a 5-inch folding knife. Johnson presented one of the most shocking legal defences in history: not guilty by virtue of demonic possession. Or as the press put it at the time, the devil made me do it. That is The Devil on Trial, which is now on Netflix. And our final documentary this week is Crush, which is on Paramount Plus and is a two-part streaming series which examines the 2022 catastrophe in Seoul, where an overcrowded Halloween event led to the deaths of over 150 people. A harrowing look at how things escalated rapidly and panic kicked in through interviews with survivors and footage of the night. That's Crush, which is now on Paramount Plus.
Police are requesting information. Irish couple Sinead Martin and Ronan Garvey, who've been missing 72 hours.
Detective Theo Richter.
Dear Dana, who are you? Long way from home, you got here fast. I read your file. 20 years experience. This is my first investigation, so happy to use what you bring.
Happy to be used. Last time two tourists went missing here, they ended up dead. The killer was never caught.
Yeah, that's something this place would like to forget.
Gone is a shiny new 6-part thriller, which is one of RTE's big autumn releases, which kind of moves between New Zealand and Dublin. This one is written by Anna McPartlin and Michael Bennett. It sees a young Irish couple go missing in New Zealand with a potential Irish crime family involved in their disappearance, all leading to a joint New Zealand and Irish crime investigation. As I said, filmed both in New Zealand and in Ireland, this is one of RTE's big autumn releases and looks like it should keep folks sat or behind the couch for the next few Sundays. So that is the new thriller Gone, which is on RTE One Sunday nights at 9:30 from October 22nd, which is obviously this Sunday.
All right, you two lock it down. We gotta impress this dude.
Change happens faster than when you were young.
This company is now a gender-neutral, carbon-neutral 21st century lifestyle brand.
I don't know what any of that means.
You need to talk to someone about your anger.
You were late.
Couldn't find a spot.
We don't accept excuses.
Is there like a problem here, miss?
Well, if you'd actually read the school guidebook, I wouldn't have to tell you anything.
I read the guidebook, all right, you stumpy little...
Wow.
In Old Dads on Netflix, Bill Burr makes his directorial debut. In this one, three best friends become fathers late in life and find themselves battling preschool principals, millennial CEOs, and anything created after 1987. Burr not only directs in this one, he also stars opposite Bobby Cannavale and Bokeem Woodbine. And to say these lads are out of touch with modern society would be an understatement. After selling their business, the three men find themselves out of step with the modern world, and this tale of personal growth will either end in a pool of Hollywood schmaltz and redemption, or go completely in the un-PC direction. My money is definitely on schmaltz, but either way, it's definitely worth a nose, and, well, why not spend a bit of time with some decent actors? That's Old Dads, which is now on Netflix. And for lovers of reality competition television, well, Surviving Paradise on Netflix is another batshit concept being released. Ah, yes. The show features 12 players who believe they're about to live it up for a summer at a beautiful villa. Oh, fools. Fools them all. Because instead, the players are almost immediately banished to the wilderness below it in a kind of, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, minus the celebrity. Anyway. They'll have to survive on next to nothing while living below, and as stand-up comedian Jessamay Peluso hosts them and the competition, as they all compete for a large cash prize. Because why would you do it otherwise? Well, for the fame, maybe. Listen, you know who you are. You know you're going to bail in. The rest of us will sit on by and wait for the reviews, and you can tell us whether it's worth watching. So that's Surviving Paradise, which is now on Netflix. Appendage on Disney Plus is a new movie for those folks who like disturbing, weird, and yet more disturbing horror flicks. A young fashion designer's life spirals as her darkest inner thoughts manifest into something gruesome that won't stop growing. This one weirdly reminds me of the 1989 movie How to Get Ahead in Advertising, minus the talking pimple. Anyways, another one to add to your freaky horror viewing library, Appendage is now on Disney Plus. And finally this week on streaming, let's have a look at a bit of animation. Not for kids, purely for adults. Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix on Netflix, is an adult animated series based on the 2013 video game Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. Coming across as a slight homage to the early 90s and set in an alternate history timeline where the US is now called Eden. In this dystopian setting, we follow a group of operatives as they take on various tasks or something to that effect. Who even knows? Listen, if anime is your jam, then Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix, is now on Netflix. And finally this week, finally on streaming, Big Mouth Season 7, the raunchy animated series, is back and on Netflix. Not my cup of tea, but at 7 seasons, it's obviously doing something right and has its fans. So, put simply, Big Mouth Season 7 is now on Netflix. And there you go. That's your streaming for the week. Yeah, some pretty good, some pretty, not so good. Get on there now and have a look and choose wisely. Right. Cinema. Pretty good. Let's bail in.
The Osage, they have the worst land possible. but they outsmarted everybody.
The land had oil on it.
Black gold. Money flows freely here now.
I do love that money, sir.
This wealth should come to us. Their time is over.
Killers of the Flower Moon is the new Martin Scorsese movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro and Lily Gladstone. It's based on the 2017 non-fiction book by David Gran and is set in the 1920s when members of the Osage Native American tribe of Osage County, Oklahoma are murdered in mysterious circumstances after oil is found on their land. This is a harrowing, beautiful and quite wonderful movie. It's possibly the most un-Scorsese-like movie I've ever seen. He avoids his normal tricks and ticks with the kind of fast camera work and the stabby-stabby. Well, they're still stabby-stabbies, but not as the normal style, I suppose, we're used to. And he instead lets the landscape and the actors do all the work. Lily Gladstone is absolutely sensational and is the beating heart of the movie. De Niro is also quite wonderful, not just taking a paycheck. He's actually acting back to his best here. And DiCaprio is great, but definitely outshone by Gladstone and De Niro. I've definitely got to give a special mention to Jesse Plemons, who rocks up about three quarters way through the movie and steals every scene he's in. Don't let the 3 hours 26 minutes put you off. Oh my god, it is 3 hours and 26 minutes, because you won't notice it going by. It hasn't been revealed when it's going to turn up on Apple TV Plus, so cinema is currently the only way to see it. And yes, I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. This tale of Native Americans being exploited and murdered for their newfound wealth by white interlopers. It's an absolute must-see. Not the cheeriest movie you'll see, but fantastic stuff nonetheless. So that is Killers of the Flower Moon, which is now in cinemas. Oh, I feel bad for going in two-footed again on Foe, which is released this week, having already kicked it while on Brendan O'Connor on the radio last week. But hey, it's now in the cinema, so I need to talk about it. Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal star in this sci-fi genre movie based on the book by Ian Reid. In this one, Hen and Junior's quiet life is thrown into turmoil when an uninvited stranger shows up at their door and asks one of them to go to space for a year. Touching on AI and the climate crisis, this movie definitely feels like it's quite timely. However, it makes me sad to say that this is a ponderous sci-fi bore of a movie. Oh, when I say it's slow, holy crap, slot level slow. Nothing much happens, and when it does, it's pretty predictable and kind of whatevs. At no point did I believe or have any investment in Mescal and Ronan as a couple. And as for the sci-fi elements, let's say lo-fi is possibly more appropriate. It's not even worthy of a Black Mirror comparison. It's more of a below-par 1960s Twilight Zone episode. Oh, I know. Get off the fence. Tell us what you really think. Anyway, sad times. And with the stunning and beautiful Creator having been released a few weeks back, as far as sci-fi experiences go, avoid this one if you can. So that is Foe, which is now in cinemas. But you know what? Hey, somebody's going to like it. I've seen a few four-star reviews. So maybe I'm just talking nonsense and you'll love it. In It Lives Inside, desperate to fit in at school, Sam rejects her East Indian culture and family to be like everyone else. However, when a mythological demon spirit latches onto her former best friend, she must come to terms with her heritage to defeat it. This story, which is influenced by Indian demonic mythology, was a big hit at the SWSX earlier in the year, where it won the Midnighter's Audience Award and comes to us from the producers behind Get Out. While it's somewhat generic and not wholly original, it's still a decent jump scare of a movie, and Megan Suri from Never Have I Ever is excellent in the lead role. Hey, if you're looking for something to add to your Halloween prep viewing, sure, why not? It Lives Inside is now in cinemas. And finally this week, let the chaos be unleashed. Unleash it!
We are gonna make boy band history tonight.
Bro, you're making baby Branch nervous.
I feel like I'm gonna barf and pass out and
pee your pants all at once.
How'd you know?
Give it up for Rosa!
My exquisitely chiseled rock-hard abs and I quit.
Branch, we're out of sync. We've gone from boys to men, and now there's only one direction for us to go. The back streets.
Bye. See you later.
In the new animated DreamWorks movie Trolls Band Together, Poppy discovers that Branch and his four brothers were once part of our favourite boy band, Brozone. When one of the siblings, Floyd, gets kidnapped by a pair of nefarious villains, who kind of have a Milli Vanilli thing going on, Branch and Poppy embark on an emotional journey to reunite the other brothers and rescue Floyd. My test barometer of a movie aimed squarely at kids and smallies is, will the adults actually survive it or be asleep within 5 minutes? Well, the good news is, this one is actually quite enjoyable. I really liked it. The power of Justin Timberlake alone as both voice and producer not only sees NSYNC's first song in 20 years produced, but also a voice cast that includes Troy Sivan, David Diggs, Kid Cudi and Eric Andre. Oh yeah, I love it. I love it. But as we all know, deep down, who am I? Grumpy old man. I am not the audience. I am not the consumer. So yes, it's time to call in the triple threat match. The hardcore kids critty corner that is Kelsey, Elisa and Amelia. Because they're going to tell us what they really thought. Special shout out to Wacker, who moderated this extremely difficult panel. So, we'll just hand it over to the kids and they'll tell us what they really thought.
So, first question, what did you think of the movie?
I thought the movie was really fun. It was really inspiring. The songs were really well written. I think it was just super fun to watch. I think it was brilliant.
I think it's really good. I love it. I think I really like it. I wish I could watch it again.
It was really fun. I like all the action in the movie and all the hard work that was put into it.
What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when Poppy reunites with someone. I don't want to tell you though because it might spoil the movie.
And my favorite part was when the guy got stuck in the glass bottle.
I like the part at the end.
Elisa, don't say what
it's question.
No spoilers.
How do I say it then?
Well, say the part. Well, okay, go on, say what you want to say.
I like the part at the end where they get handcuffed, the baddies.
Who was your favourite character?
My favorite character was Baby Guy Diamond because he was like super funny and he really wanted to be a big boy, but I'm not sure if he was ready yet.
My favorite guy was Baby Guy Diamond because he had this little dollar thing and he was just like.
My favorite character was Floyd because I liked how he was nice to a bunch when all the brothers left him.
Very good. What does anyone say to Davo?
Quit out all the parts that you didn't like.
And there you go. Trolls band together. That, I would believe, is a triple thumbs up. So all in, it's a win. It's now in cinemas. Right. Well, there's your cinema. Sure, that wasn't that great. Quality stuff. With maybe one. Slightly dodgy. I'm not going back there. Right, moving quickly on to music. Just a few interesting, or a couple of interesting albums worth noting. Blink 182 release One More Time, which is their ninth studio album. And this one marks the return of guitarist vocalist Tom DeLonge, reuniting their best known lineup for the first time in 7 years. I was going to say that some of us are still awaiting the rescheduled Tree Arena gig, but alas, they've announced it and it's no longer indoors. They've feckin' put us in a field. I don't understand the logic there, but we're off to Kilmainham next August. I'm not going to lie, I'm slightly disappointed with the indoor to outdoor move. But anyway, that's life. First world problems. Blink 182. Their new album, One More Time, is now streaming. And also out this week, we have the Rolling Stones' Hackney Diamonds, which is definitely one for the old folks in the room. Turn up your hearing aid, folks, because it's the 24th British and 26th American studio album from the Rolling Stones. This album features guest appearances by Elton John, Lady Gaga, Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder and Bill Wyman. And it is getting insane early reviews. I mean, Dinosaur Rock is here to stay. Not even a meteor seems capable of stopping these lads. I mean, people are losing their minds. So that is the Rolling Stones, Hackney Diamonds, which is now also out in the world. And we're done. That's your cinema, that's your streaming, that's your music releases for the week. Slightly low-key, but as I said, one or two definite standouts worth your nose and your ears. Next up, yes, it's time to have a look at a quick three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, we have living proof that streaming can indeed save a box office flop or bomb. Director Matthew Vaughn's 2021 The King's Man, which served as the prequel to the Kingsman series, only made about $120 million at the worldwide box office, despite having a budget of $100 million. Pretty good film, quite enjoyed it. So we all assume scrap heap, never to be seen again. Well, that's when it got interesting, and it got tons of views on the Disney Plus streaming service. Thanks to those streaming views, Vaughn has confirmed this week in an interview with Collider that he intends to make a sequel to The Kingsman, and it'll either be a movie or a TV series. He also stated it's going to deal with the rise of Hitler, and its title is The Traitor King. Ooh. And even before we get to this Kingsman sequel, Vaughn will also be making another Kingsman sequel due to start filming next year. This now possibly unofficially will rule him out of the James Bond director ring. Take a hat back. Not that anybody said it was going to happen, but that was the rumour. And leaves the door wide open for a certain Mr. Nolan to get back into the driving seat. Will the Broccolis let Nolan in the door? Anyway, it's all very confusing. King's Dead, King's Man sequel, number two. And King's Man 3. Anyway, whatever. Next up, according to Variety, the classic 1990s animated series Gargoyles may be getting a live-action reboot again over at Disney+, courtesy of Gary Doberman and James Wan's Atomic Monster. A huge cult classic back in the day, and again gaining many new fans from its home on Disney+, this could be an amazing prospect, or, depending on Disney Plus's budgets, a cheap-looking hot mess. Gary Doberman has worked on the Annabelle and Nun movies and recently directed a Salem's Lot, which, despite getting raves at some test screenings, seems to be hidden away by Warner Brothers in their vault somewhere with no release date yet. Obviously, James Wan also has his roots in horror, so both of these choices make for an intriguing option for this project, which will hopefully lean older and come out sooner rather than later. So that's Gargoyles coming back to freak us all out. So get in there, binge it. I think it's about three seasons or something like that. And finally, in your little bit of goss this week, Daniel Radcliffe is in Buff Bod Reports and also denies that he is playing a version of Wolverine in the new Deadpool movie. Variety reports that Radcliffe has partaken in a lie detector test by Vogue, where his co-stars from his new musical, Merrily We Roll Along, ask him if the ripped body is connected to the Wolverine role. Radcliffe answered, "No. Yes, I got buff because I am obsessive. I want to. You see my parents. They're like insane fitness people. So that's just passed on. But no. No Wolverine. Flattered, but no." There's a lot of no's going on there, Daniel. A bit of a yeses. I think you're trying to throw us off the scent. But anyway, we'll see. Or maybe we won't, because with the strike still going, who knows when Deadpool 3 will come out. And there you go. They are your three things. Yeah, interesting stuff. Nothing crazy. I should really shut up now because there's a lot of stuff to listen to there. I did talk about shite this week, but sure, that's life. Anyway, with that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there. How's it going, post-credit traveler? Welcome to the Nonsense Dome. Welcome to a world where anything can happen. Things can go awry. Waffle will be spoken and tales will be told. What have we got for you this week? Well, there's been a bit of a hullabaloo about a certain studio that is 100 years old. Yes, recently I went to see the Disney 100 event at the National Concert Hall, where the RTE Orchestra played all the classic Disney tunes. And as you would have seen across all the media this week, yes, they're having a big birthday. And I got to thinking, what are my 5 favourite Disney songs ever? Songs from Disney cinematic movies, animated, with, you know, some of them have mixed in live action, but High School Musical, you're not allowed in. Sorry, you're not a movie on the big screen until you bring out number 4 and then you're all in. Well, after much duress and stress and, oh, leaving a pile of musical classics and their bodies on the floor, I've noticed some interesting things. What's interesting is it's all about your age and your experience with certain movies. We, as in the O'Callaghans, were such a Disney house. I mean, there was VHSs, there was DVDs. When people speak of the Disney vault, my mother had her own Disney vault from collecting over the years and still has that vault. Probably has multiple versions of every movie known to man. This list can easily head in any direction, and I'm sure some of the curveballs you're about to hear thrown in here definitely won't make it on other folks' lists. Not even near. But that's the beauty of it all. Why choose 5? You could pick 20. Well, you know what? Tough love, people. 5. I want you to suffer the pain I suffered. So do play this at home and let me know. It would be rude not to. So without further ado, here are my personal top 5 Disney songs. Sing along as we go. At number 5, both a movie and a song that has great meaning to our family and especially my mother and to myself, as whenever I head over to the Arsenal games in London, I seem to turn into a version of this at every game. So, number 5. We'll dedicate this to Mary's Crèche. Long gone, but never forgotten.
Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheroo. Good luck, we're above when I shake hands with you. Or blow me a kiss. And that's lucky too.
Jim, Jiminy, Governor, yes. Jim, Jim, Cheree from Mary Poppins, written by the Sherman Brothers and sung by the legendary Dick Van Dyke. This song was the 1964 Academy Award winner for Best Original Song. And hell, why not? Because it's a bit of a cracker. Anyway, that's Jim, Jim, Cheree. Number 4, we have another old school classic that kind of, you know, it gives me all the chill vibes and, well, takes away this stress of everyday life.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I...
Yes, the bare necessities from The Jungle Book. This was written by Terry Gilkison and sung by Phil Harris as Baloo. It was nominated for an Academy Award in 1967 for Best Original Song, but it was stolen. It was lost to the absolute nonsense that was Talk to the Animals from Dr. Dolittle. He talks to the animals. Not bad, but it's definitely not the bare necessities. Anyway, I'm over that. I'm not bitter. At number 3, we have one of the modern classics. I was in Minute College at the time. Disney had started a run of smash hit animated movies that were putting them on a different level altogether. And then this came along and holy moly. Holy moly. We will not mention the cease and desist letter involved and sent to Darkroom Society with this particular movie. We'll move on from that. Instead, let's focus on this pretty awesome song.
Sideways and under on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Now I'm in a whole new
world. Yes, a whole new world from Aladdin. Woohoo! It was composed by Alan Menken and the lyrics were by Tim Rice. Two different versions of the song were released, with the original recording being sung by Brad Kane and Lea Salonga in their respective roles as Aladdin and Jasmine. As expected, the song won the Academy Award for Best Original Song at the 65th Academy Awards, along with a Golden Globe and a Grammy in 1992. Good times, fabulous stuff, love it. We're nearly there, folks, we're nearly there. At number two, we have a song featured in the movie that has my favourite Disney princess. We all have a favourite Disney princess, don't we? Right, that's a thing. This was the movie that started the animated revival in 1989. And well, who doesn't love a lobster who can sing? Ah, yes. Take it away there, Sebastian.
What do they got?
A lot of sun.
We got a hot
crustacean band.
Each little clown here, no heart to jam here.
Under the sea.
Each little slug here, cutting a rug here.
Yes, Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. Oh, what a banger. What a banger. It was composed by Alan Menken, with lyrics by Howard Ashman and sung by Samuel E. Wright. The track won the Academy Award for Best Original Song in 1989. And believe it or not, we mentioned it earlier, but this was the first for a Disney film since Chim Chim Cheree and Mary Poppins in 1964. Holy crap. I was totally torn between this song and Kiss the Girl from that movie. I do love Kiss the Girl, but this one is definitely more upbeat, hyper and joyous, and was always going to win. But it would have been rude not to mention Kiss the Girl and its somewhat serial killer vibes. But that's a banger too, right? Dun, 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 dun. It's time for the number one song, and I'll bet all the cash that most people won't guess this one, because it's from my favourite Disney movie of all time, which acts as both a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. This particular song rarely gets any hype or buzz, possibly due to its bleak tones and its sad outlook of unrequited love. Maybe this is the song that started me on my emo journey. It was written by Danny Elfman and is sung amazingly by Catherine O'Hara. Sally's song in 1993's The Nightmare Before Christmas is my number one Disney tune. Sweet, sweet, sad, poignant music to my ears. And there you go. That's my number one. I shall send you off with 1 minute 45 seconds of pure sadness, and I look forward to you all shouting at the sky because I've left off so many other crackers. In which case, as I said earlier, it's over to you. What are your top five? Not six or nine, five. Answers on a postcard, please. And with that, take it away, Sally. Take it away.